This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an experiment in Rebirthically. Due to crazy schedules this week, Ronnie and I are trying something new. I'm going to record a little something, then he's going to record a little something, and we're going to throw it together and see how it comes out. Hopefully we cover all the books. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work. But anyway, let's get started. Action Comics, this latest issue, I guess 977, I'm starting to really kind of lose interest in this series. The last crossover arc did nothing for me, and I'm sort of bored with this Superman now. I really enjoy the actual Superman comic, but its action is just not doing anything for me the last little while. I'm hoping maybe throwing Metallo into the mix will do something to give it a little bit of a jump start. But I mean, honestly, I just don't really care. I guess that's enough of talking about that one. A book I really, really liked is Batgirl: Birds of Prey. This book, I mean, I never would have expected to enjoy it, but this latest arc, I guess it's a continuation of the whole thing with Black Canary kind of undercover in that little fight ring, trying to figure out what's happening with the metas. And, you know, it's another issue where she's going through the competition, you know, basically she's fights a couple people and they're like, okay, you know, maybe you're ready for this new training class. And they're pretty much, this woman's just teaching her how to use her ability better than she's been able to figure out how to use it on her own, which is kind of cool. That, you know, instead of just screaming, you know, using her canary cry, she can focus it better and use it to blow things up, which is kind of cool. It's kind of silly that she's had these abilities forever and never tried to do anything other than, I guess, just knock people backwards. But anyway, I really like it. And of course she stumbles upon what the secret is, that, you know, they're taking the people's powers and turning them human. And by the end of the episode, you know, the other birds realize that, you know, something's wrong and they're going to go try and help her. And of course, you know, they're like, oh, we need to get some help. So who else shows up? But you got Green Arrow and Nightwing is on his way too. So should be kind of cool. I kind of like, I'm really enjoying the book. I think the art's good. The writing's good. And, you know, the characters are having fun. You know, the way that they're written. So I'm enjoying it a lot. Detective Comics is another one. It started off really strong for me, and it's really, really, really fallen off. I'm just not interested anymore. I don't know what it is. I guess the last page where, you know, or the last couple pages where the league is there and basically like, oh, you know, you can't, you know, who do you think could take out the whole League of Assassins? And they show Orphan taking out a bunch of them. That has me mildly interested. But besides that, I'm not into this one like I was. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I mean, the art to me isn't as good as it was when it started. And, you know, I'm just not that into the League of Assassins, I guess, in the comic. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps is fantastic. This book, absolutely love this book. I like the fact that Space Ape is in it. I don't remember the last time I've even seen Space Ape. But, you know, obviously the greens and yellows are still having their issues working together, not working together. But it's interesting to see, you know, now you have Guy and Arkillo, you know, as the two that are like, no, look, you know, we've figured out our differences. So, you know, let's work together. And then, of course, they all eventually, after they slug it out for a bit, they do, you know, they start coming to an understanding. At the same time, Space Ape and I forget who his partner was, Gorin's son, maybe, you know, they're out on this planet looking around and, you know, they come across this weird thing and they can't contact the lanterns and everything's just sort of crazy. And then, you know, those weird, I don't even know what they are, like crystal insect thing, aliens. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, by the end they're, you know, they're going to start going out and trying to figure that out. And then the comic ends with Rip Hunter randomly showing up, you know, as a Green Lantern, telling them that, you know, the Green Lantern Corps has been erased from the future. So it's interesting. You know, I'm definitely, I mean, I'm all in with this book, but the way that it ended, I'm definitely all in, you know, trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Flash was good again. It, in a weird way, it seemed like it kind of wrapped up some of this stuff a little too quick, but I guess next issue it's going to get into the thing with Batman with the Watchmen button. It was a nice end teaser kind of thing where you figure out who, you know, who's the person kind of behind Black Hole, I guess. And it turns out it's Mina Duan, which is interesting. So I can't wait to see how they explain exactly what happened to her and how she didn't die or whatever. Red Hood and the Outlaws, again, this issue, Dexter Soy was back on the art. And for me, he is 100% the MVP of Rebirth so far. I mean, his art is just fantastic. That, I mean, every page is better than the last. And, I mean, the story itself is great. It's, you know, I mean, you're getting a lot of stuff with, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on her name, with Artemis. Wow. And, you know, her past and, you know, what was going on. And, you know, then it's Bizarro basically taking out an Air Force. And, yeah, I mean, they're trying to find the bow that was used. And, you know, it's just this series is just great. Every issue, you know, I mean, you know, it's every issue just gets better. That I really like to see exactly what's going on. I like after the explosion, you know, like when he's taken out the couple planes, Bizarro like lands on the ground and there's just a crowd of people standing around him, like all excited that Superman is there, but you know, obviously it's not. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens. Cause, you know, I mean, they're back in Karak where Jason was killed by the Joker and he's not so happy about being there. And, you know, everything is pretty much right back where he was. So yeah, again, this is another issue that it's just great. And it ends with, who was Artemis's sister, Akilla, you know, sitting there. So, you know, that's going to be kind of crazy. Titans is, it's better than it was for me, but I'm enjoying it more, but it's still not quite where I really would like it to be. Like, it seemed like this issue wrapped a lot of stuff up real easy. That all of the Titans were defeated, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, by the way, then Karen shows up and basically takes out the entire group by herself, you know, and pretty much saves the day. And it was a little crazy for me, but I mean, I still, I'm still enjoying this better. And I mean, the next issue looks like they're going into, you know, something with Deathstroke. And I mean, come on, Deathstroke is, he has been so great as a series that I'm really hoping that this arc does him justice and it's not some like weird version of the character, you know, like that doesn't kind of fit in with how he's been so far. I guess that's pretty much it for me this week. Ronnie should have something coming up after this, and I guess here's Ronnie.
What's up, buddy?
Ew.
It's late in your neck of the woods, ain't it?
Huh?
It's late in your neck of the woods, ain't it?
Yeah, but I've been on leave from work. You know, taking my mother, so.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
My hours are weird. Hours of medications and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. I'm trying to get everything done before Friday before I head out to Chicago.
Yeah.
It's like everything all last minute. We were supposed to record last night for Rebirth Weekly when I got home from the baseball game, but the bus broke down.
Damn.
And then Aaron was already passed out by the time I got back, which was like about now.
Right.
But and I was like, all right, well, you record something and I'll record something and then we'll splice it together, or you just record something again to put something out.
Hey, you gotta do it that way, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, I don't know why I'm buying these. Oh, man, I'm buying these Titans things again. I'm double dipping. Digitally, I'm double dipping.
Digitally?
I have different collections because they do so many collections. I have different ones. But I don't think I have like the first two volumes together. I think I had like the individual. I had it individually.
Right.
And I don't. But I would prefer to have it all, you know,
all
in chunks, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can read it that way.
Kind of like what Marvel Unlimited does.
Oh, and they let you do the...
Like you can read, like, say you're reading 12, you can read 13, or you could read the next in a story, which would be a different one or whatever.
Well, sometimes I have to do it the... Sometimes they'll be off, and then other times I like to do it by event, but they don't have all the events up yet.
Oh, yeah, true.
But, I mean, it's so many events now that it'll take them forever to load all the events. And that tells you something when they, like, have all the, they have so many events listed, and they're still not all of them.
Right.
And then, like, even from the 90s, they're not all there. Like, the X-Men Avengers event with the one with Bob Harris. And that was when Exodus
right.
And, was the enemy, and they had to fight and all that. That was a good event. It was just five issues, but they have the individual issues, but they don't have the event itself listed, which is
crazy.
You know, they just didn't get to it yet, I guess, but it's crazy, but...
That's the same way with Executioner Song. They have the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not an event, but they got the single issues there.
All are there. And when I saw it, I said, okay, they listed all these Executioner ones. So I'm saying, oh, they must have logged in the event then, since they put out all the issues. And nope, it's not ready yet.
Yep.
It's still great. I mean, they're always going to be... That's the thing. They're always going to be... tweaking it.
Yeah.
Because there's no way in the world you'll get everything up there, but it's sure hell of a... I have a blast just reading it, that's damn sure.
Yeah. Especially the old stuff. the old good stuff.
Oh, that's all I'm doing. That's most of my reading. And then the stuff that I don't think is worth buying, yeah, that I'll catch up with. Like, you know, the stuff that I'm catching up with, the books, to see what's going on with the characters I like, but I don't think they're worth
right
the $4 to buy them. So
yeah.
So I will wait the time and do it that way. Oh, I have all the annuals.
Have you watched the animated movie yet?
Yeah, I did. I watched it a week ago. I've done nothing but read and watch TV and movies in between my caregiving time. Like, that has been the most of what I've been doing.
I have it, but I haven't seen it yet. I've been kind of putting it off because of, you know, that run was like my initial sink my teeth in the book, and I was like, I don't want them screwed up.
I had low expectations on it because I knew it was not going to hold up against the original source material. Mm-hmm. But for the cartoon, for it just added on its own thing, it was actually pretty good on its own. If I didn't think about the original story, it's because you don't have Cyborg and you don't have Jericho and you don't, like, there's certain things that are missing.
Right.
That are you're gonna want that if you read it prior. If that was when you jumped on the Titans back then, that group, you're gonna miss that. You're never gonna, you know, like, have it. You're not gonna get the amount of time that she was part of the Titans before she turned.
Right.
You know, like, you're not going to get any of that. No crossover with her brother. You're not going to get that. So, but on its own as a movie, just that movie. I mean, Nightwing was, like, they put Nightwing on. He comes back to the team. Starfire is still in charge. You see, it's set with the previous one still.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have that, it's still set on that continuity, right, which, you know, so. So that might throw people off that didn't watch, if you didn't watch the Batman
and Son and
the others before that, and the Teen Titans before that. You'd be like, what? Starfire is what?
Yeah.
This is what? There's a little bit more of Blue Beetle not being able to control the Scarab, like him not even being with his family because he can't control it. Like, it can attack them at times, so he's kind of moved away from the family. Until he can get it under control. And you have, what's the other one? Then you have, Beast Boy is pretty much the same. He hasn't changed. Nightwing asks Starfire to move in with him. Like, that's the first 2-5 minutes while they're fighting.
Right.
That's where they're all at, you know. And then you have, she's already been part of the team.
Raven?
No. Raven was part of the team way back.
Oh, when, yeah.
The first incarnation. I'm talking about Tara. Tara's part of the team already. Like, what they do is they do a flashback in the first beginning. They do a quick flashback, and it's weird because the flashback is of the. This is supposed to be when they first meet, when Nightwing first meets Starfire. So you got Robin, Roy Harper, Bumblebee, Kid Flash, I think that's it. That's the team, right? And you miss Wonder Girl. You don't have Wonder Girl yet,
right?
So you miss that too. So they meet, and then she, you know, comes in quick, and then they're attacking her, and that's, you know, they even put in the scene of. They even put that thing in there where Starfire, if she kisses you, she can understand your language.
Right.
So she kisses Dick Grayson, and then she starts talking in English. But that's like the first introduction to it, and then it goes into the present, and then you kind of get the situation. And then Beast Boy trying to talk to her, and Tara being kind of, you know, grouchy. They even do the scene of Tara in a nightie and a drink, walking in the room, talking to Slade.
Really?
Yeah. But they keep, they let you know in this incarnation, he don't hit that.
Yeah.
She says more than once, she tried to get in them pants. But Deathstroke was like, you have to wait till you kill, you know, till when we kill the Titans. We won't do it till we kill the Titans.
Right.
It's weird though with he, it's a lot better version of Slade, but it still has that mess where he's tied to the League of Assassins, mm. That whole thing of him wanting the mantle and Damian taking his spot. You know,
right, yeah.
His spot, which is not Deathstroke. Deathstroke's not a joiner. Like, that's never been his thing. His thing is the contract. You know, his yeah. reputation with the contract. Like, yeah. he always fulfills his contract. That's his thing. So it's like, I don't know why they needed to link him with the League. You know, Deathstroke's best quality is that he doesn't work with anybody.
Right, yeah.
You know, that makes him unpredictable. But you get that, and you get Brother Blood. They do pretty well with the Brother Blood and the Hive aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, set that up, but...
I was wondering, because I was like, man, because the animated ones have been pretty decent,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, that series I hold in, like, high regard, so I was kind of...
Yeah, it'll never be as good as, it'll never hit that high.
Yeah.
It'll never hit that high of being as good as the source material. It just won't, like, yeah. they... You know, they had time, they set it up well, you know.
Well, I think they can even, like, for that arc, they can even go panel for panel, and I still don't think it'll be as good as, like, back then when I was actually reading it. And
no, because when it came out, the age we were when we read it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just no way. It's yeah. never going to hold up to that original. There's just certain things just not going to hold up.
Right.
Plus, the comic, it's just nuances with that George Perez art that's
oh, yeah.
not going to match
yeah.
in an animated capacity.
Right.
You're just not going to do it. It's just too good. But, I mean, if you get, like, it's not something where I'd say you have to run out and buy it. But right. if you did, I don't think you'd be that, you know, I don't think you'd look at it and be like, ugh. This is crap.
Right, right. Especially you know. If you like the other ones, too, you know.
Right, right. If you like the other one, like, that's the thing with these things. It's been touch and go.
Yeah.
Like, some of, like the Batman, I forgot which one it was, where it was, like, pretty much the Batman family with Batwoman and Batwing.
Bad Blood?
And was that Bad Blood? That was the one where you think Batman's dead. They kind of adapted the Batman RIP kind of thing where he was dead for a minute. Or you thought he was dead, really, you know, for a minute. And they adapted the Batman and Robin run where Dick Grayson took over
mm-hmm.
for like that year or so. And hit the Morrison run of his book. They took that over. And that was pretty good. Like he did a good version of Dick Grayson and Damian was
yeah.
not annoying because it was a story Damian was already in.
Right.
Like, he was originally in it, so it worked better.
Right.
Like, that's another thing that will throw it off. Damian being in the story, his personality would just throw you off a little bit with that. It doesn't gel. Because the Titans are family, and Damian doesn't act like, you know...
Yeah,
like a family, so it will throw you off too. How Damian is when he's in it, like when Nightwing's in it is great. When Damian's in it, it's just not.
Yeah,
it'll just throw you off. But yeah, but that one was a good one because it had Batwoman was done well in that. I think
mm-hmm.
her introduction was done well. I think Batwing's introduction was done well. In fact, I wish they had continued that. Like, did not even adapt anything and just do another one with the Batman family.
Right.
Don't even try to adapt
anything.
anything. Yeah. You know, you don't have to. I think it's better to not.
Yeah.
And just have it be the team. Just have it be the Batman family. Like, it's Batman, man. You can do, there's enough villains to do something with that without having to, I think it'll make it weaker if you try to adapt something.
Yeah.
To that.
Yep. Like, agreed.
Which is kind of what hurts the other stories, because the universe is not the same.
Right.
You know, everything is in a different way. So when you're trying to adapt things where there was no Damian before that, there was, you know, like there are different characters in that, it just doesn't work as well because right. their personalities are not the same. Like, if you could have used Tim, mm-hmm. and it probably would have had a better tone, like a closer tone to the, wouldn't have been the same, but I mean, it would have been a better, like his personality would have fit a little bit more that family aspect, but.
Right. Yeah. The tone would have definitely been closer. I would say.
Yeah. But Damian, like, he's still in that, you know, angry
bat state or brat.
Yeah.
Stage.
Yeah. He still has that brat thing about him. So, which gets old for me, like yeah. after a while, it gets kind of old, especially in the animated version. Like I've already read all this stuff already. So for me, it's old,
right.
You know, for everybody else, if you haven't read the comics and you're just watching it, I mean, it's new, but you know, so it's kind of want him off the page. Like I really don't need that character to be there. Yeah. I can not have him around and be fine.
See, like with his character, it's kind of like, for me anyway, it's like Harley, like where I can take him in small doses, but mm-hmm. if he's like heavy centric in the story, then it's, I can take it or leave it kind of thing.
Yeah, Harley's great. What's great about Harley is I haven't read all that stuff with Harley. So when I see her in other incarnations, it doesn't annoy me as much as Damian. I've read all that Damian stuff.
Yeah.
You know, being such a Batman fan, I've yeah. read all the Damian stories.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm already like, I'm done. Like, yeah. I've been through it. I get it. Like, yeah. it is what it is. I was like, he could have died. Like, originally, that's what Morrison wanted to do, and that probably would have been the best thing for it, was he died. That was it. You know, that was kind of what happened. He died. He wasn't a character written to last, you know,
yeah.
when as long as it did. So, you know, it's just, what can you do with that after a while? It's
yeah.
like, it's like he can only do the, because the only thing you can do with him is lighten him up a little bit, you know, and then he becomes Jason Todd.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, he's, you know, once you get him to the point where he's adjusted, but he's a little snarky, it's just Jason Todd, you know, so it's not yeah. much you can do with that. This whole point was that his journey was that he eventually got to the point where he loved his father and embraced the heroic, like, he, instead of just saying it's legacy, you know, like, I'm like, you naturally have to give it to me,
right.
the mantle that I am Robin, you give it to me. He eventually got to the point where he earned it, and when he did die, when he sacrificed himself, it meant so much, it meant more, because he was like, I come to peace with this. Like, Father, I know I'm going to die. I come to peace with it. This is, you know, it's my problem. You know, mm-hmm. this whole thing, if this is my problem, you know, Grandfather tried to use me to get to you. I'll sacrifice myself and I'm fine with it. Like, this, you know, like, thank you for letting me be on this adventure with you kind of thing. And
right.
And he's done. You know, like, he sacrificed himself and he's done.
Right.
That worked. Like, yeah. that, you know, like, that made you go, huh, that was yeah. a good story, man. It would make you think better of, and let people wish he came back,
mm-hmm.
but he just never comes back. Like, that's kind of the good stuff. We don't do that. Now it's like, we wish they come back, and then they just come back. Like, it is like the Bucky Barnes. Like, Bucky doesn't work for everybody. Like, Bucky worked, when they brought Bucky back, it forget that it worked because he wrote it well.
Yeah, right, correct.
And that's why people, when they go, you never bring back certain characters, they pull Bucky off the list. Even if you don't like that they brought him back, you cannot say that was not written well. You right. can say you didn't like it. You didn't like that they did what they did. Because there's a difference between not liking the direction a book is taking and just totally thinking the story is just not written well. It's just not written. It's not, you know, not done well, executed well. It's just a difference, right?
Right, so, right.
So people, even people that hated Damian, love that when they got to the end, he wrote that story. That was a good story for the dialogue.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And like you're saying, like with the Bucky thing, though, it's like they're doing it for the gimmick part of it, you know. Right. But at least it was written well to where it was a win-win type of thing.
Right, because it's all gimmicks. I mean, that's fine. I don't mind, you know, they're doing it for, like, they're doing it to get some sales. Mm-hmm. They were doing that since the first comic. Like, that is just the way it is.
Yeah.
The thing is, did it work? You know, like, did this particular thing, this event, this whatever it was, the death of this guy, did it work?
Right.
And now we know that when you kill a character and you bring him, and then you bring him back, both do great sales. You know, that makes the book, you know, have a little bit more weight. It sells a lot of copies. But the problem after that is, what do you do? What is that character going to be like a year from now?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, if you can't come up with a solid vision of what you see that character doing a year from now, don't do it. That's my thing. Don't do it after that. If you can't come up with it, then you got to, if you stutter about it, you got a problem.
Right.
That's not good for the character. And I don't think a lot of, you know, the companies, they just don't think about that anymore. They just bring them back and then you're stuck with them. And now they don't know what to do with them.
You know? So like for Superman,
mm-hmm.
and then when Bane broke Batman, right?
Right.
You have those two different instances. Which one do you think worked out the best? Which one did you like the best, but I'm just saying.
Which worked out? Because I'm thinking long term, like what happened to those characters after that was done?
Right.
Because
you had, like for Superman, you had Reign of Superman. Or Funeral for a Friend, right? And then Reign of Superman.
I would say if you look at the overall thing of what stuck, mm-hmm. I would have to say Superman. Only because there were characters that came out of that that are still done today. That those stories are still classics.
Right.
Like this, you know, having Superboy. Like his run, I mean, he had like the stuff that Joe Kelly did with him mm-hmm. for like a year or two was strong stuff. Then after, you know, like he got to Young Justice, that was pretty good for that character. All the way to Jeff Johns, Teen Titans, all the way to when he died in Infinite Crisis.
Right.
So, and then you add another one. He came out of that. Steel did pretty well in terms of they did some good stories with him. I mean, he even had a Morrison run,
right,
in the Justice League for a bit. He was a good supporting character,
mm-hmm.
I think, for Superman. So you have that, and then you have they got plenty of stories out of the some good, some bad out of the Eradicator,
yep,
stuff. So you got stuff out of that,
and then Hank Henshaw.
And then Hank Henshaw. So you got some good. Now, when you look at Batman, the Nightfall, mm-hmm. Azrael, not really. There's not really much that lasted with Azrael. He was only pushed after that because of Denny O'Neil. That was his character, and he liked him. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Denny O'Neil, I don't think Azrael would be in the place it was. After Danny O'Neil had got away from the Bat books when he wasn't in charge anymore.
Right.
And Azrael disappeared. He was done. He's only recently come back, but not strong. Not a strong incarnation yet. But again, like, you don't see, you haven't seen any Asriel ongoings again. You haven't seen Asriel used in the animated cartoons or movies, really.
Right. Well, and it's like, not until, like, what, in Detective now?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Has he been, like, impactful, really?
Right, and even with that, he's still not, people still missed him. That right. book is still,
yeah,
it still lost something when Tim was taken off the board. So he hadn't replaced Tim. It's just that he's a character they could use. He's right. a bad character they could use. I don't think people took to him like that much. I think the way he's been used by Tinian has made people go, he's not annoying and eye rolling like he was in the 90s. Because his whole buildup was you can't use him anymore. Like his whole creation was he can only access the persona of Asriel, which knows how to fight and all that, and different skills. He only knows how to get to that if he wears the suit.
Right. Yep.
You only got about a year's worth of story of that.
Yeah.
Before it gets really old.
At least. I would say maybe even the 6 month mark is when it start getting.
I'm pushing, like, when I say years worth, I'm adding what they did with him in Nightfall. Like, right. that was, like, that goes to him. Like, getting, you know, getting, trying to overcome it, not using the suit anymore, then trying to use a different version of the suit, flipping the switch and turning him, it turned him into a darker aspect of Batman, then Batman having to whip his ass.
Right.
And come back. Like, that should have ended him.
Yeah.
Like, if you really think about it, even though I know people probably enjoyed, because I read all those stories. I read all of Asriel after that. Right. So I'm not coming out of it like, oh, that was whacking. I didn't like it anymore and everybody else should be done with it. I read all those stories. There was nothing impactful in the Asriel book that, if it had ended and never came out, if he had died in that run or whatever and it never came out, or he just quit, we wouldn't have missed anything. And like the No Man's Land version, the Asriel stories, the No Man's Land mm-hmm. were the worst. The tie-ins for those?
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah, I agree.
Every tie-in that you had in Asriel's book was always the weakest of tie-ins compared to all the other books.
Yep.
So he basically added really nothing to the comic history. Like, he added nothing to it.
And honestly, like, when I go back and reread No Man's Land now, I leave those ones out, actually.
Most do. I only do it because I'm a glutton for punishment. When I have to read something, I have to read it all. Even the stuff that I don't like. Because it's part of it. Like, I have to do it. I have to do it. So again, if you compare those two runs, yeah, it would have to be Superman. More stuff that came out of the death of Superman worked.
Right.
And it lasted. Like, they actually had, and they actually knew what they were going to do with Superman after that. Like, what they were going to do with those characters after that. They had a plan. And you can tell. You can tell their plan. They had a solid plan. The Batman books kind of went through a transition because he beats Asriel, and then he's like, all right, I gotta leave again.
Yeah.
I ain't ready.
Yeah.
And then which is just like, what? And then you have, you do have Prodigal, mm-hmm. which is the first time that Dick Grayson took the mantle of Batman for like a year and failed.
Yep.
And failed. You got that, but then Batman had to come back again.
And that was. I didn't mind that he failed, though.
No, it wasn't a bad story that he failed. Like, out of all of that that came up, that was character building for Dick, because when he came out of that,
yeah,
it added to what became of him in Nightwing.
Right. Well, and if he didn't fail, then why would you need Bruce back?
Right, that's the thing. Yeah, you had to fail.
Right.
Or else he'd be Kyle Rayner or Wally West. Those are not not failures. Those are ones who took the mantle and in some aspects surpassed it. Because Kyle, I know people could love Hal, but Kyle did more. He rebuilt the core from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know.
I love that Ion series, too.
Yeah, it was. Well, I've read more of Kyle than I did. And the same thing goes for Wally. There were more Wally and Kyle stories that I read than I did Barry and Hal.
Right.
Because when I came in comics, I was around the tail end of their stories. And then they, you know, pretty much one turned evil and one died. Right. When I came into it, like Barry had died. Like that was the end of Crisis is when I read one of the first Barry stories. And then I've gone back and read stuff, you know, when I went back. But my first one of just picking up the book was like, oh man, he's dead.
Right. Like,
and then I read all of Wally from the Titans all the way to him, you know, taking up the mantle and Flash. And I mean, I went through a lot. Those are a lot of stories. I mean, he was a conservative.
Right.
When he started, like, he out of the Titans, he was like the most conservative one out of the group and the most kind of he was the most normal, the one that had the family and stuff.
Right.
And kind of wanted to leave. He was like, this is too much for me. I don't want to be here.
Right.
I want to go to college and have a normal life. So. And he was judgmental and everything. Like he was, you know, like there was a hippie kind of tone to Wolfman's Titans, you know, free love and, you know, accepting who you are and loving each other no matter what. Like, everybody was freaks.
Yeah.
But you know.
And some issues, too, you had Prez's art that backed it up, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
with the color scheme and the palette and everything.
Yeah. Some freaky stuff, man. That was a sexy book, man. Like, Donna Troy hooked up with the professor.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
The good girl?
Uh-huh.
I was the good girl, you know. You hooking up with the old man professor? Pretty much. Wolfman hooked her up with him.
Yep.
That's pretty much what he did. He hooked her up with him. I mean, you had Starfire, Hedonist, you know. A lot of free love. She you know, loved her body. A lot of feminist themes into it. Like you should be able to be who you are, be with who you want to be with.
But see that was the good stuff that it was in there, but it wasn't beating you over the head with it type of in there. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, it was some rough stuff. Like she came out of her first storyline is her parents sold her into to not be killed, to the planet, to not be enslaved and killed. They basically gave her to their enemies, knowing that they were going to torture her. And by torture, I mean, no, let's not sugarcoat it. They raped her.
Right.
They beat her. They raped her. They tortured her. Until she escaped. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is stuff I'm reading. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this shit. I mean, it's not like they put it in your face.
Right.
But it was in the context of the story. It was there.
Right.
You can try to ignore it, but it was there. You know, like those type of themes were in there. Her dealing with that. And then you had, you know, you had themes of you know, race in that. You had abuse, you know, the girlfriend who was abused.
Yep.
It
had drugs in there.
It had drugs in there. You had statutory rape?
Yep.
Because you had, in that book, I mean, people try to pretend it never happened. Mm-hmm. Slade did, you know, have relations with her underage girl,
yep,
to get her to do what he wanted her to do.
Yep.
He had no moral with that. It was to get the job done.
Right.
So you throw that in there. I mean, there were a lot of things. You know, people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of that in there. You know, when
even hinted at Jericho and his sister.
Yeah.
The incest part of it.
Mm-hmm. There were those themes were in there. I mean, there were a lot of stuff that was... there's a lot of stuff that was in that book. I mean, it was pretty... pretty radical at the time. It was risque and radical at the time. I mean, they had a lot... In comics back then, I mean, you know, they that X-Men stuff too, man. A lot of freaky stuff was going on back then. Hellfire Club was basically a sex club.
Yep.
If you didn't look too closely, you missed it. But if you did, you know, they in Manhattan, they still got them. I mean, they're out there. You know, they had sex clubs. They would dress up and stuff. That was, you know, S&M, that type of thing. That's where he got it from.
Yeah.
That's where Claremont got it from, a little dirty bird.
A little freaky deaky.
Yeah, a little freaky deaky. He had a girlfriend, brought him into that life. He said, you know, he kind of got to see that stuff.
Yeah.
And he put it in there. So it was kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, again, but it was good. It was good stuff. I mean, it was classic runs and whatnot.
Yeah.
It put out a lot of good trades this week. This week alone, it had, like, the Batman Legacy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Which I have now, which kind of went into... I think it was, like, after Contagion. And it had stuff with Lockup, that if people know the animated cartoons.
Right.
That character Lockup, that was not Bane, but looked like Bane a little bit.
Yeah,
it was a vigilante. He's in that. And it's got stories by Alan Grant, Doug Munch too. The first trade, the first volume of the original Vigilante. I got that too. I didn't even start reading it yet, but that was some good stuff. It went off the rails after a while, though. That was another character that was not made to last. And then Legionnaires, one of the many, many, many incarnations of Legionnaires with Tom McGraw and Tom Pierre, which was
Which one was that?
It came out of. It had Mark Waid also. He was in it too.
Okay.
It was like the I don't even know what volume or incarnation.
So it'd be the newer stuff.
Yeah, it was after the classic run, but they were still trying to save it. Like, you know, it kept getting canceled, and then they would relaunch it. It was after the Jim Shooter stuff.
Okay. So, like, in the late 90s stuff?
Yes, this was the 90s. This was the 90s.
Right. When so this is like, the Legionnaires, and it was like L period, E period, or whatever, right?
Yeah. And it ran till 2000.
Yeah.
Okay. So it ran from 89 to 2000. So in today's terms, it wasn't that short a run.
Right.
But it collected like issues 62 to 68 of Legion of Superheroes, and then Legionnaires 19 to 24.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it was broke. That was when all those books were kind of connected.
Right. Yeah.
Legionnaire books and the Legion of Superhero books.
Right.
It's a pain in the ass though. Yeah. to work this together. If you're a Legionnaires, like I'm a I'm a fan of the Legionnaires, but I am not a diehard fan of Legionnaires because there are runs that I have missed because it's just so much happened. Like there's the story, the Legionnaires have gone through so many problems with, you know, editorial. They couldn't get that book. They just couldn't get that book to just hit and stay.
Right.
Like, it's always had issues. And it's like that book has gone through more changes. And every time there's been any type of change in the overall DC universe, that is one of the first books that gets changed with it.
Yep, agreed.
You know, you lose Supergirl, you get Supergirl. You lose Superboy, you had Superboy, and you based it around Superboy, then you take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to deal with the aftermath of having Superboy in it. So then you have to plant other Superboy-ish and Supergirl-ish in it to kind of make it fit. And it's like, it's like Hawkman. It's like the... Yeah. But imagine if there was a team of Hawkman with that history. That's a mess. And what do you do with that? I don't know what the editors must have went crazy. Like, my editors must have lost their minds trying to be on this book. Legionnaires was not a step up. No. If you got hired as an editor for Legionnaires. That was like a punishment.
Yeah, I think that was my punishment because when I was buying stuff or when I'd go spend a couple of weeks with my uncle in a different town in the summer, Legion, for whatever reason, was like his thing. Like, right. The boxes and boxes of them. And, that was like, to me, it was cool because it was outer space stuff and... You know, it's different. I mean, besides the lame names. I mean, come on. I love them just as much as anybody else. But, you know, you had whatever Lad and Lass and...
Hey, listen. My people, and I'm talking about us, the black people, we weren't even on the same... We were thrown on a planet and sent away. Okay? Yeah, so you can't get any crazier than that.
True.
That we flew off into the stars. We got tired of this shit.
He said, fuck this shit, I'm out.
And we got in a spaceship, and we flew to our own planet, and that's what they thought they were doing us a favor.
Like, see, I love that classic stuff, the classic stuff, like the the famous story arc where Farrelad dies.
Yeah,
but then like. In the early 2000s, where it was Supergirl, and then it got changed to Supergirl and the Legion.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's probably my second favorite run.
Did you read recently? I started rereading I just almost finished it. Run again. When this is after they made the changes, and when they put in another woman as Supergirl, she was a Daxamite. Created a Daxamite character.
Right.
Who looked like Supergirl, blonde hair and the whole thing, and she hooked up with Brainy after a while.
No.
Her and Brainy got together. This was when they got older. Okay. This was like years when they when they did this, the Legion had pretty much broken up. And then they were getting back together. But it was dark. I mean, this version of the Legion was it was very dark. It was Keith Giffen again. He came back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like planets were like in at war. You had EarthGov was pretty much anti-alien.
Okay.
It I'm trying to think. And that's another thing with horror with Legion. Like, you can't just pull out, like, this, you know, like, Legion of this era.
Right.
Like, there's just so much shit that goes with it that you are completely lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to remember. Like, you have to look up shit, like charts. You have to go through a chart to figure out, okay, where in the Legion lore is this that I'm reading? But it was a very weird, like, they had changed, the book was, they were trying to experiment with it, and it didn't work, because nobody really supported that book when it changed.
When was that? Was it older, or is it?
It was older.
Recent? Okay.
It was into the, I'm trying to look it up now in my database, which is basically my comicsology. I'm trying to sound all like my database.
Yeah. Is that when Brainy was president?
No, it wasn't when Brainy was president. There was no Legion.
Oh, okay.
There was no Legion. They had to, they brought them back.
Okay.
This is when Ultra Boy got sent into the past. You remember? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
he got sent way into the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name? Their enemy, the one that the magic dude, the one I can't think of his name. They fought him many times, but his powers are based on magic, and he. He beat them, and then they had to. What's her name? Silver Sorceress or something? What's her name? The Sorceress one.
Yeah, I think.
That's when she had, like, he had pretty much tortured her.
Okay.
For years. Damn it! I'm trying to find. Because I don't know what it's under. Like, that's the thing about a stupid thing, too. Like, it's hard to find what was the title of it. Of this incarnation. Because I can't remember when it was. But it was like everybody was... It was like all the planets were fractured. Like, all the different races...
Okay, yeah.
Were fractured because of the war... And they kind of had to be put together like later. Like they got put together because of the Legion, because of what they did. That wasn't Volume 1. Wasn't the Paul Levitz. Was it? Ah, here it goes. It was the 5 years later.
Okay. Era. Okay.
And it was in 89. It was Volume 4. That's okay. What it was. And it was when they were ruled, like, the Earth was ruled by the Dominators.
Okay.
You find out that Timberwolf, it was, and the other, that wolf-like creature you saw was the same person. Right. Because he would turn into a werewolf, and he didn't want to tell anybody.
Right, okay. I remember it, but, I mean, I haven't reread it,
Didn't last that long. But it was really dark. They didn't even wear suits. They didn't even wear costumes until, like, maybe 10 issues in.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't even wear costumes. Because there was no group. There was no team.
Oh, yeah, right.
There was no original setup. They had no money. They had no backing. They were pretty much... on their own. I mean, they were pretty much kind of nothing. Yeah. You know, the way that they were. It was pre 0 Hour as well. Okay. And Mordo was like the first villain that they had to fight was Mordo, because he had won and he had taken over. Like, he had won the war of magic and it pretty much did a lot of damage. And Laurel Gand was the one that was the character that was used to be the Supergirl.
Okay.
She was kind of the
generic version.
Generic version of Supergirl, exactly. Like, she it was funny because she was like, yeah, they even said it, like, she had blonde hair and she had like a red cape, and people thought She was Supergirl. But she really wasn't. That was just people were mistaken. You know, anybody that had might have traveled into the future and went home, they thought, you know, that was her. But it, and she has such a weird, convoluted history as well. She had a daughter, too.
Really?
Yeah, she was with Brainy, and then they broke up or whatever, and then they got separated, and she hooked up with another dude. It was just, you want to talk about sex? The 5 year later, it had a lot of sex. It had a lot of nudity in it, like as much as you could show in comics without it being labeled mature.
Right.
Like they would, you know, like you well placed wording and well placed art, but it had a lot of, you know, getting down, and you know, it was. They even had a hotel where one part of the hotel was the sex part, where people would dress up in the kinky part. There was the kinky part of the hotel, and there was the regular part of the hotel. And in the Legion part, people would dress up like Legionnaires and stuff. Like, all that was in it, too. It was a freak place.
Yeah.
They killed quite a bit of the Legionnaires, too. They died in...
Yeah.
And else like...
Legion... They had all kinds of different villains too, like Super Rejects and Super Assassins.
They even had an issue focusing entirely on Matter Eating Lad, where he became part Philip Marlowe, part Indiana Jones, part like he was a TV dude. Like he would be traveling around the world, and then he would switch, like, and after that he failed at that, and then he would do something else.
Yeah.
But he was like a detective in that one issue story. Like, no costumes. This is still no costumes. None of that. They're just, that's another thing that made the book hard to read, was because no one wore costumes, I didn't know who the hell anybody was sometimes. I'd be reading it, and you just would see people in the book. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they are. You'd be reading it, and you'd forget. Like, they would throw out character names.
Right.
But you don't know that. Like, there's so many Legions. No, I don't have the brain capacity to remember all the Legions.
Right.
Legionnaires like that. So they would die. And then they would mention them later. Like, they even had it in the backups. Every book, because there's just so much shit and so much history, the back of every book would have in text, like, they would do it like it, as if it was a news report. So you would kind of get the backstory of why if the issue had, like, these different races at war.
Right.
You would kind of get why, and then you would get. They would have like transmissions between people that would kind of give you more backstory to what was going on, because they couldn't fit it. Like, there's just so much history and stuff in it, like so much story, couldn't fit it all. Like, it was just so much shit.
Yeah, tons of it.
My brain my nose would be bleeding reading this. I loved it though, I did, but my nose would be bleeding reading it, because it was just so much I could not keep up with it. How much it was. It was just, oh man, it was just so much shit.
Yeah.
It's good stuff though, but damn.
And then you also had, where they had, what's her name? Where they thought that she was, Kinda Superman or Superboy, but she was a Manhunter.
Her
last name was Kent too, I think.
Yeah,
Laurel maybe. Let me see. Yeah, Laurel Kent. Yeah, because they thought that she was a descendant from Superman. Right. But she ended up being the Manhunter who was programmed.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
Flash's kids died doing this.
Yeah.
That's right. She was a Manhunter. And did you look at her clothes? She was the one that had no fucking clothes. Yeah. She looked like Lois Lane, which yeah, she can't. But she had like, imagine you have a bathing suit where it has like the stripe down the front, covering the boobies. Then they had, you know, you had the fabric down the front, you know, covering the.
Basically like a special. A T yeah, that goes to the. Yeah,
it was a T, and it was just that was a costume,
and then a cape.
Yeah, and then a cape. That was yeah, that was the Jim Shooter. Like he did that one. Yeah. Jim Shooter came up with that one. Yeah, which was crazy. That was. Oh man, that was freaky. But that was prior to this. Yeah, that was
yeah. That was prior, but I was just trying to because there were so many like crazy villains to go with.
Yes, everybody had like oh my god, everybody had their. They even had the there's this. They even used the rejected Legionnaires in this.
Yeah.
In that run, like, which crazy, which is oh my gosh, like
Legion of Super Rejects.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Insane shit. Like who could keep up with that? I've never met anybody that was like a historian. A Legionnaire historian, but boy, I would like to just to see how their brain works.
Right.
To keep all this in. They would never do it, but if someone could do a documentary, like if there was a show or something that just did a documentary style and got into runs like this, you know, books, like old books like this, with like a lot of characters, and gave you like the behind the scenes shit too. Like, yeah. This is when this editor was like, oh, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
And this editor had issues with this editor, and this was fine. Like, all that stuff, like everything. All the stuff you would hear at a con when you would get the creators talking to each other about stuff.
Right.
I would love somebody did that. But did it for different. Things like they would do Legionnaires, they would do X-Men, they would do Batman, pick years, you know, like certain years out of it, or do some obscure stuff too.
Yeah,
you know? Like I would just love to, because there's just so much behind the scenes with this stuff.
Oh yeah, especially like with this stuff.
Oh, it's messy. This is messy. Even in the forward for the. The Legion thing, there's a long 2-page thing with Mark Waid about this book, you know, about the book at the time, or like what was going on behind the scenes at the time. It was just like
an apology letter.
Kinda. Kind of like, we know how crazy this was, and this is why. We're gonna kind of make up excuses of why this was ridiculous.
Right.
Why things happened the way it did, and how nothing just didn't stick.
Yeah.
Like, they tried hard, man, with Legion. It just didn't. It never really stuck. And they kept changing everything. They kept trying to do different things with the Legion to get it to be a hit.
And they even had an animated series for a little bit,
which was not bad. I mean, it even went to war. The first season was like it was just the Legion, and then the second series they hook up with Superboy,
right?
And they're fighting. It was this enemy that Superman had to fight. In the comics, it was a war, like it was an event when he had to fight this thing. This is way back when there were events focusing on Superman.
That's right.
Like he was popular enough that they could put events, you know, he led the DCU.
Right.
As opposed to like Batman now. But I can't think of the name of that when they had to fight. But it was pretty bad. It wasn't bad. It was kinda in the vein of 5 years later or whatever. Like there was a massive war and they had to fight it, and you had kid soldiers trying to fight this war.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember too.
It was bad. It wasn't bad. Actually, it went 3 seasons. I totally forgot about that. What did they fight? I'm trying to think of who was the one they fought.
It was the most was the Fatal Five, right?
Yeah, they were the main baddies, but there was like that Darth Vader, Darth Vader, like Emperor dude that they had to fight. Let me see. No, they don't freaking list it. I'm trying to look it up. They tell you all the other stuff, but they don't freaking list. They don't freaking list what enemy they fought. Damn it. Mm-hmm. I wish they did, because...
Yeah, because...
It was good stuff, man. It was the main group, and then you had the right... Like, the ones people remember. Like, Chameleon Boy, of course, and Timberwolf, and Triplicate Girl, and
Lightning Lad,
and Saturn Girl and Brainiac, like those are the ones you remember,
right?
So they put them on it, but because you Imperiex, that's what his name was.
Okay,
Imperiex, yeah. He looked like a Darkseid like character,
right? Yeah,
without being Darkseid, because you can only do that so many times. When Darkseid comes in a room, that should be your oh shit moment.
Yep.
But he pretty much was like destroying worlds. He was kind of like a Darkseid thing where
Galactus style.
Like he wanted to consume. He wasn't big like Galactus, but he wanted to consume the universe.
Yeah, you said that went 3 seasons? I can't believe that went 3 seasons.
No, it went 2, and then when it was supposed to go to 3rd, and they were actually in the middle of, like, writing it and stuff, and then the WB said, nah. Uh-huh. Like, them toys ain't selling.
Yeah, they even had Happy Meal toys, I think.
Yeah, they did. They did. And it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't sell, so they scratched it.
That's a shame to you.
Yeah, well, that was when they were getting away. The WB was getting away from cartoons on Saturday. They weren't doing Saturday cartoons anymore, and then Cartoon Network was kind of where they had to move everything to.
Yeah,
after that, so it just came out at a bad time. But it was good stuff, man. It was some good stuff. I miss it so.
Do you read anything from this past week?
Yeah, I read a lot. Let's see. I read, of course, The Action. I read Batgirl and Birds of Prey. I read Detective. I read Hal Jordan, The Green Lantern. I read Justice League of America. I read Red Hood and the Outlaws. And I read, Suicide Squad? That was the last thing I read. No, I didn't get a chance to read Suicide Squad because I'm catching up over 3 weeks
of stuff.
So that's
yeah. So, Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Uh huh.
It's still like, I tried to go back to read the other stuff, the New 52 stuff.
Yeah, I tapped out of the. I think Red Hood and the Outlaws, I tapped out of the New 52 stuff after the second arc.
And it's like night and day different.
That's why I don't think it's the same writer. It's a lot. I still don't believe it. I still don't believe it's the same writer. It's not. Can't be.
Because there's like almost like there's this book, Deathstroke, and I would say I don't know. There'd be another book that's probably like the consistent every week that it comes out, you know, where it's consistently good.
Aquaman, I would probably think that would go into that.
Yeah, I would say that.
After the first arc, it just started out slow, but I think that's pretty consistent too. lot of these are hitting their stride, because I think Batgirl and Birds of Prey, I think this is the issue where it's like their strongest issue.
Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, and even Batgirl, are like, I didn't expect to like them as much as I do, to where they're like fun books, you know?
Right. If they built them up, they had to, they're gelling. Nightwing was another one, too. Nightwing started out shaky.
Yeah.
Nightwing started out really shaky.
Nightwing got good for me when he went to Bloodhaven.
Yes, that's when it felt like it was starting.
Yeah.
And even towards the end, I think that first story arc in Bloodhaven, mm-hmm. I think it went one issue too long.
Right.
But the story after that, where they, you know, one with him and the woman he starts dating.
Right, yeah.
That issue was like all fire. It fired on all freaking cylinders. One of the best issues that week that it came out.
Right.
It was one of the best ones of that week. And it was the best one, I think, of that run so far of Tim Seeley.
The one where Damian comes?
No, the one before that where he pretty much wrote a relationship, a real relationship in one issue.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't double paged or nothing.
Okay.
He actually used time progression well. Like, right. That's hard. There's not too many to do that in a comic where you don't wind up saying, you don't wind up rolling your eyes when you're trying to show the progression of doing that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have a lot of issues to make. He had to make this girl feel real. And then he had to make this relationship feel real. Mm-hmm. And he only had one issue to do it because he was going to put her in jeopardy after that.
Right.
And to be able to do that and not have that woman in refrigerator conversation afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that could have sparked that. It could have sparked the, you know, you just put her in the book just so you could put her in danger.
Right.
And we would have to feel something. Mm-hmm. I actually felt something. Like, I felt for that character and that jeopardy she was in. And I feel like I was scared they were going to kill her off. And then I could feel the intensity and all the angst that Dick Grayson had to go through.
Right.
You felt it. I think it was written well that it felt like Dick Grayson going through this. And that Damian coming into it, it kind of just, even with that, he had to be like, she had to kind of smack Damian in the face, like, boom. Like, usually I deal with your shit, but not today.
Yeah.
Not today.
It was like Dick got punched in the gut kind of thing. It was like a gut check type thing. And then, like you said, like when Damien's being Damian, and, you know.
And that's the one he likes the most.
Yeah.
Dick is the one he likes the most. I mean,
And that's why I think, like, when he can tell that Dick's being serious, then he's like, oh, shit, something's really going on.
Yeah, this is different.
Yeah.
This is not normal. You know, we're always in danger. That's what we do. But this is not that.
This is next level stuff.
This is next level stuff. And then he goes through, and then they even included in Damian. Damian has he has abandonment issues, right?
Right.
So the one that he's closest to, like, to pull it out. I mean, it was annoying to a point, and it could have came off as really CW. When he was like, oh, you just have another baby so you can make another Robin.
Right.
But it made sense that he would be that way because he does have issues with abandonment. I mean, he does. Like, that's pretty much his mom was like, you know, I'm shipping you to your father. You know, like, and then you wind up knowing that your mother did it to use you. So, and clone you and to use a better version because you weren't what they wanted. Right. So they were going to, you know, do something else, make another one and do it. Then, you know, your grandfather, too, he was, you know, pretty much he thought you were expendable.
Right.
And then you got Bruce, who is not great at being a parent.
Well, he's not. Yeah. I mean,
to he's still certain, working on it. He's still working on it.
Well, to a certain degree, he's not great at being the best role model mentor person either, really.
No, because he is the don't be me.
Yeah, right.
That makes him the I think that is what I like about him most, is that he has that you be, don't, if I see you trying to be me, I'm gonna smack you in the face.
Right.
Every now and again, he got to be like, Dick, you can't, you're starting to be like me.
Right.
I can't have that. Like, that's, you know, like, grow the fuck up. It's time. Like, stop. Even going to Bloodhaven, he's like, look, stop asking me what you should do.
Right.
Just freaking do it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what I'm going to think. Right.
Yeah.
You got this. It's cool. It's fine. You're good. You know, don't make me have to be the one to shake you up, because I'm a doing it. You know, Alfred to talk to you and hold your hand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a smack in the head.
Yeah. So it's the, what is it, the do it and ask for forgiveness instead of ask for permission?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. You know, he leaps. You know, the Dick is the one who leaps without knowing what ledge he's going to land on. Bat Bruce is, I know 20 steps after I jump off this thing. I already pre-planned 20 steps after this. I know what ledge, I know what, after that, I know what other ledge I'm going to jump to. I know what window I'm going to jump through. It's all prearranged. Dick is a free spirit. When he overthinks it, that's when Dick starts to have problems. So he needs to be reminded. That's what made it so much fun when Morrison wrote him taking over the mantle of Batman. He was like, first he tried to be Batman, and it didn't work out. Everything went wrong, and then Alfred had to be like, why are you trying to be Batman though?
Yeah,
you got to be Dick Grayson Batman. Right. Stop trying to be Bruce Wayne Batman. That's not you.
Right.
Right. Tim is the one who is methodical like Bruce. That's their thing. They connect on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But that's natural for Tim.
Right.
In fact, Tim has the benefit of not only being methodical, but also knowing how to deal with people. He can have relationships with women.
Right. Yeah.
Healthy ones. You know, healthy relationship with women, it doesn't, he's not damaged that way. He can have friends too. Like he knows how to have friendships with people, natural friendships, not one where, you know, you have to kind of build, you have to kind of deal with his shit first, then you kind of become friends.
Or so manipulative.
Right. Or manipulate. What's funny is Bruce and Jason are closer in the way they deal with relationships, which makes Red Hood and the Outlaws so good right now, because he's finally tapping into that. That's what makes Jason. That's why they have fights all the time, because Bruce sees the asshole. That's him.
Yeah.
Bruce sees his own shit in that, and Jason, it's vice versa. He sees the same thing in Bruce, and that's what he hates about. You don't want to be your dad,
right?
But he kind of is his dad, so that's why they kind of, you know,
butt head so much
because they're so freaking much alike, and that's why when he's going through what he's going through, he is he's like, damn it, I do care about Artemis.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I hate myself. I'm not supposed to care about people. I do care about Bizarro. Like, this is, you know, this is his emotional journey that he's going through. Right. He's finally, it took this long to do it. They didn't really do that right in the first couple of years of Red Hood and the Outlaws. So it's like you're finally getting it now. Mm-hmm. This is, it's like the book is almost starting for the first time.
Right. Well, it just, all three characters are written really well.
Too. Yeah. They're all damaged, but he got it right, though, how damaged they are. Well, you know, like even Artemis with Wonder Woman, that's why they're going to be friends. You know, it makes sense. When Wonder Woman comes on the scene, when she's had a flashback, and the first reflex with Artemis is to be like, I got this. Mm-hmm. Get out of my face. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. But in her head, she's like, oh, please help me, Wonder Woman. This is so over my head that I don't know what the hell to do to save my friend. And she even had to be mad. And she's even angry at herself because she's like, I don't know how to ask for help.
Right.
You know, so it sounds very familiar. I don't know how to ask for help. Like, even the emotional, it even goes all the way back to, and it's, I know Martin and Mike don't like it, but it even goes back to Bruce in Tom's run now saying, all the shit I've done prior, mm-hmm. it's put me in a, it hasn't really worked well. Like, even the things that did work, it worked in spite of what did. You know, like the way I treated Tim, the way I treated Jason, the way I treated Dick, mm-hmm. I didn't do it right. So now you have a Bruce who's like, he went through that moment where he was going to die. He for real thought he was going to die, you know, when he saved that plane.
On the plane.
That was supposed to be the Hail Mary. I'm done.
Yeah.
But then what do you do when you thought you were going to die and you don't? And then you think, that changes your whole shit. It's like, I got a second chance, but now what am I going to do with that second chance? He thought Gotham Girl and Gotham was that chance mm-hmm. to, like, I can have someone take over for me, but they probably won't die. You know, like, they're like Superman. It's like I can pass it on to a Superman for the most part.
Right.
And they could take those hits that I don't want Dick and Tim and Jason to take.
Right.
You know, they could deal with that. We don't, you know, they won't, you know, their powers, they are going to die eventually because of the use of their powers. But they did that to themselves. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, when he found out the truth about that, he's like, that wasn't something where it was on him that they did this, but they want to do good. If I train them, they might be able to really do some good in Gotham. And it's okay if I don't make it. It's okay if I die.
Right.
It won't be falling on my sons to do this, which would kill anybody. Like, trying to be Batman for Gotham, you have to give up everything so much. Like, you can't. This is just... He's like, I'm already damaged. There's no way around it for me. But I don't want to pass this shit on to my kids. Mm-hmm. That's what he's basically saying. I don't want to pass this shit to my kids, really.
Right.
He just doesn't know how to say it. He just reacts in a way that makes him seem like an asshole. But there's a reason for it. So you got him going through that and like, okay, not only do I not want to, not only do I go through this whole thing, I got to atone for shit. Like, so then you have the good, the conversations that were done very well in Red Hood and the Outlaws mm-hmm. with Jason. Like, you know what, Jason? He gets it. You are my son. You're me. Like, the shit you did. Like, so now Batman reacts to him very differently. There was a time where he would give him the tough love thing. Mm-hmm. That's not what he needs. Dick can get that. Right. Dick can get the tough love because he can handle it. Because Dick is he's better equipped emotionally to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Jason, no. I got to hold Jason's hand a little bit.
Right.
Jason needs a hug. I didn't get that when I was younger.
Or having a burger.
That's the hug.
The car. Yeah.
That's the hug for him. Like, yeah. Jason needs my time a little bit. That he needs the nurturing. He needs to know that he doesn't have to He didn't have to start a fight with me in order to get me
to get attention.
To get my attention, and but it took Bruce this long to figure it out. So that's what he did with Jason. Then in Detective, you get how he deals with Tim.
Right.
He straight up had to say to Tim, you know, this is how much I care about you. I trust you more than I trust anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like he lets him know you run this. This is your thing. This is your thing. I have every confidence in you. And you are more important. You are very important to me. You know, you're my sons. I don't care what name, last name you have. You're my sons. You know, you are important. And I think out of all of them, you're the one to take this thing.
Right.
And do better. Not do as well as me. No. Do better than me. Agreed. You're better than I am. You have the emotional capacity to handle this weight of this world, but you think things through. So I don't worry about you, you know, jumping and not thinking about things. You plan out things well, and you know how to work with others. Mm-hmm. Better than me.
Yep. He's because Tim's got the best of both worlds.
You got the best of both worlds. So when he died, that kind of really smacked Bruce in the face. It should have been me.
Yeah.
I think that that's a lot of also what's going through his head, too, is it should have been me that died. If I died, nobody's going to miss me, man. To him, he's thinking that. Like, the only thing is I need someone to, you know, to be able to do this, and Tim would have been able to do this.
Right.
He would have eventually taken over. And been able to, with the group, with Batwoman and all of them, they would have been able to do this. I should have been the one that's gone. Right? I don't have any, you know, like, I can't love Catwoman like, you know, Selina. Mm-hmm. Like, she should be loved like a person. You know, I'm too damaged to do that. So I can't have that kind of relationship. I do have friends. You know, Clark is my friend. You know, all this kind of stuff. We are friends. But I lost Clark, so now we got this new version. That changes things now when with the books. But at the time, he was thinking, Clark's dead.
Right, right.
That was my brother in arms. He's dead. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's gone.
Well, even still now, he's kind of iffy about it.
Yeah, and eventually, even with the mind thing, I don't know how that's going to affect Bruce. Because now the assertion is, he's always been Superman in this world now with the way that they fixed the timing, you know, the way they connected him back into this universe. Now he's always been here. So that's going to change things.
Yep.
With the way that should change things. If they do it right.
Yeah, it should.
It should change things the way, you know, because this is not someone you just met.
Right.
It's not a version of Superman you just met yesterday. This is your Superman.
That'd be the interesting part. To whether it auto fixes itself and he still has
problems with it, like something feels off,
right,
or not. That's gonna be a thing. So this has been this is Bruce, and I like Bruce. I'm old, right? This is Bruce when you start hitting them 40s. Even though this is a younger Bruce, this is Bruce when you start hitting them 40s. And you start reflecting, right? It's like you almost get a second wind.
Yeah.
So you cherish your friends more, right?
Right.
You try to reconnect more with your family that you kind of lose touch with, right?
Right.
Things you thought were silly, you know, like
don't seem relationships so silly.
And stuff and emotion doesn't seem so silly anymore, right?
Yeah.
You want to do things differently than you've always done. You kind of see the things you've done. And the way you handle things, you don't handle them the same way anymore.
Yep.
You kind of grow up more. So that's how I see Bruce. So, I mean, it might throw off other people and they not like it, which I get, because it's a change. When you do this, this is a change. But I connect with it. You know, like I could see it. I could see what Tom is doing with it, and I connect with it. So I understand this Batman going through all this stuff. And even to the people in the books, they're like, who is this? Is this the same Batman? You seem off to me. Like, what the hell? Even Tim had to say, what the fuck are you not telling me?
Right.
Because well, you're not acting normal.
Well, not even just in those books, but like Justice League of America.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that to me, he doesn't seem like Batman the most in that book, I guess.
Yeah.
And also, I think I might enjoy it more if he wasn't in that book. But we know why he is in that book.
Well, yeah, for sure. We know why he's in that book. He's straight money.
Yeah, right.
It's straight money. Even forming the Justice League of America, which has not started out as strongly as I wished.
Right.
But there's a reason why he did it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Back to that point, yeah.
There's a reason why he did it. And with the announcement of the coming events that are going on, we really know what there seems to be some sort of thing in his head that tells him something's coming.
Mm-hmm.
No one else knows about this thing that's coming, but he knows about it. He might not have a tangible thing to hold on to of who it is, but right. He knows there is something coming that I gotta try to solidify as much of my relationships as possible so that they are ready to handle this. Whether I'm here or not,
right?
I need them ready.
And that part one of that starts this week, right?
No, the button is just going to... I don't think that that's... It might be tendrils that'll connect down the line for the books until it gets to the meta.
Okay, got it. Yeah, right.
But for right now, it's just about... I think it's just about
setting the table. There's
this button. Like, yeah, I think it's just like Batman's just not going to see this thing where this button is left. Barry has just told me that he changed the time thing. Like, mm-hmm. there's been changes made to the universe. I don't see Batman just being all right with it. Like, you know, whatever. You get a note from your dad, you know, it shouldn't exist because he died way before this, right. Like I could see Batman should be like, I gotta investigate and see what's going on.
Well, see, and I would have thought that he would have had to do that before,
right?
You know, being the control freak that he is, I guess.
Yeah.
But then again, you also have Bane that's knocking at your door too, mm-hmm. right? So I guess that would be a distraction too.
Yeah, yeah.
So this would be your first breather.
This is the breather part. This is the let me see what's going on, and let's compare notes.
Right.
Let's compare notes again. Let me check in with Barry. Let me see what's up. See if he knows anything else. And so I don't know how – I doubt it'll be too deep. I know people will probably look at this. It might be some people bad because I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah,
it's too early. Like it's – I don't think it's going to come yet. I just think this is the light. This is just lighting the spark.
Right.
That we'll find out as it goes. So – but again, I like connected universe stuff. So I like how all this is coming about. Like I really dig it. Like the little tendrils that are forming, especially for this.
Yep, agreed.
So,
is there another book that you want to talk about?
Have you been reading Hal Jordan Green Lantern?
I have.
It's amazing that we put I'm wondering, though, I didn't see them putting Kyle back.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Like, they pretty much reset him.
Mm-hmm.
Back to that point. I think they reset him back to his second year. Kinda as Green Lantern, like he has some of the confidence of I can do this, But he's not at that point now anymore that he's not Ion. He's not, because he was to a point where he was just so powerful. There, when you're the White Lantern, if he's so powerful, it's like, what do you do with him
after that?
Like that's kind of an end game when you reach that point. And it's just surprising me that DC just said, well, fuck it, then put him back.
Yeah.
Take it away. Right. You know, you had it for this time, and now take that away from him and put him back at Green Lantern.
But once again, it's kind of like bringing people back from the dead part is where the story worked.
Yeah.
To put him back instead of just doing it for no reason. I mean, we know the reason why.
But it still worked, I think.
Right.
It still worked for me. Mm-hmm. Like, Guy going through his issues again.
Yep.
Seeing them working with the yellow Sinestro Corps. I like it. I had my doubts at first of how this was, like, how they were going to balance, how Robert was going to balance this. Mm-hmm. But I think overall it seems to be working out pretty well.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, I found myself really digging it. And I, as being a Kyle fan, and Kyle is the one I know the best. And then John is the one I like the most. Mm-hmm. And more because of the cartoon than because he really didn't have lots of stories.
Right.
John's stories came from the cartoon. They just wrote him so well in that cartoon that's where I got my character development from, not in the comics. But Kyle got, like, he grew up. Like, you got to see Kyle really, like, grow as a person in that run. And Hal just, I know people Hal is just like, you're supposed to like Hal. Like, that's, you know, like, John can say that's the best Lantern all day long. Mm-hmm. That's just the Lantern that he grew up with and connected with.
Yeah, that's just being subjective, basically.
Right. Right, that's the one that we all grew up with different mm-hmm. Lanterns, so we both all connected with different Lanterns.
Just
that's
like we all grew up with different Doctor Who's.
Yeah, it's totally true. So you connect with whatever one that you watched the most episodes with when you were growing up.
Right.
So, but I do like the direction so far, and I think the book is stronger now with Sinestro not being in it for a while.
Yes.
I think he should be off this table for this book for at least another year.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you don't need him anymore. Like, you see, Kyle, I think, is gonna, you know, look like Kyle had a little eye for, again, for his ex. Mm-hmm. You know, both of them went through a lot of stuff. Like that Carol thing, I don't know where that leaves Carol, because he, you know, had this little thing with Carol for a little bit.
Right.
And I kind of like when Carol was with Kyle, because it, you know, it made Hal fans mad sometimes, and I'd be like,
so what?
Right.
So what? Like, you know, there was this thing where she has to be with Hal. Hal don't commit, man.
Yeah.
Either shit or get off the pot.
Yeah. That's a little cougar action for Kyle.
That's right. That's right. But I like it. I hope they do something with her, too, because that whole thing of she has to be in love for her pals to work, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
Can't it just be you can love your friends, too, and family?
Right.
And you keep your powers? Like, do you have to be in love with somebody to keep your powers? That kind of makes you very... We've done enough with girls, women that are written that way, where they have to feel like they have to be in a relationship.
Right.
They're always complaining when they're not, you know, the foils for the boyfriends, because she's been written that way for years.
Right.
We don't need more of that. I would like for them to do something with that where they kind of change up where she can just, as long as you have the capacity to love people, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in some kind of romantic love with somebody for you to use your powers. It's a bit rough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because they're gonna have to fix that pretty quick.
Yeah, because what do you do with that? Like,
yeah. I mean, that might have an arc at best.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll get old.
Real old. Like, especially if you were reading Green Lantern prior to DC 52.
Right.
Like, it really got, like, they kind of dealt with each other, you know, they kind of moved past that, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of, but, you know. Another book that I'm really, really digging is this arc with Aquaman.
Yeah.
The art by Phil Briones.
Yep.
Oh man, I wish he could do more issues a month.
Yeah.
I mean a year. I wish he could do more issues a year.
Yep.
Because his stuff is just great.
Like I think when Aaron and I were talking before, there's like usual, like maybe a panel or so that seems ridiculous, but overall it seems pretty great.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah, I like this recent aliens inspired, alien inspired arc.
Right.
You know, where, you know, they're trapped somewhere and they're killing off those. I knew they had to whittle down some of the Marines, the Aquamarines.
Oh,
what do you do with them? What do you do with them after the whole thing is over?
Right.
And so I had a feeling they were going to do that. And that's what they are. They're pretty much red shirts.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
For the most part. You might have maybe two or three left, I think. When all is said and done, I think, it'll be down to like two or three.
Yeah. Three probably be stretching it.
I think. Three would be stretching it, but somehow it'd be like one or two will be supporting characters for the Aquaman book down the line. But I liked it. I liked the design of the character, you know, the monster they had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, I don't even know what the thing that's causing it, because they find out that what they thought was wrong. So there's something else to it. So I like that. It just works, man. I'm being an Aquaman fan. I'm not disappointed. Like, I like the movie version of Aquaman so far.
Yeah.
What I've seen, I've liked that version. I like this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has been kind of a strong rebirth. Is really, there have been characters that have been helped a lot by Rebirth.
Agreed.
Aquaman is one. Jason Todd is another.
Mm-hmm.
Superman for sure.
Yeah.
Superman has definitely been the character that's been leveled up.
Yeah.
Because of
Rebirth. And rightfully so.
Yeah. It was rough when you're... Superman shouldn't be your weakest character.
Yeah.
Supergirl's gonna need some work still. She's still not there yet.
Yeah, the supporting Superman family, you know, I think still needs some work, but
it's gonna need some work. I like the way they have her in that miniseries. Probably is the better version that are trying to make her so much younger.
Yep, agreed.
To fit the show.
Yep.
Which is weird because the show, she's not even in high school anymore.
Right.
So I don't even know why they did it that way. Yeah. It was a poor plan, because I think that four, if anything, that four issue thing should have been the Supergirl book proper, probably.
Yep, agreed.
So
I'm trying to see.
Okay. I didn't read the last Suicide Squad, but I am enjoying this arc of Suicide Squad, though.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. For me, I mean, I know Aaron won't even read it because it's JRJR.
Right, right.
But the art in Suicide Squad for JRJR is better than in All-Star Batman for me.
Well, I thought it would be because I think JRJR's art style fits a Suicide Squad movie. I mean, fits a Suicide Squad comic better.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Than it does, I think, a Batman like character. I just don't think it works as much.
Yeah.
Like, he does guns and he's done Punisher and stuff like that, and he's done X-Men books. So he can do teams, he can do groups. But when it's Superman and Batman, I don't think he's the right artist for Superman and Batman.
Right.
It just doesn't make them shine or pop like other artists would.
Have you been keeping up on New Superman?
It's funny you say that because since I had to be home, I was only on Superman 4, issue 4, prior. In the last couple of days,
mm-hmm.
I'm up to 8.
Are you still liking it?
I would have stopped if I like after 4. If I didn't like it, I would have stopped.
Right.
It's just that it's been collecting, and then doing weekly podcasts. It's like, right, you have to concentrate on other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I absolutely am loving it. It's still good, and it's gotten better each issue. The story is progressing very well.
Yeah, I think so. The art is hit or miss sometimes for me, but I'm not too big of an art person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's like one of my favorite books, throughout the line right now, but
it's a book you can put to the side. It's not the thing about it is it's not important to the universe,
right,
to the DC universe.
Right.
So it's easy to just say I'll get to it later.
Yeah.
But
it's a fun read too. It's not like it's super complex where I got
to think about it. No, it's not. But once I started reading it, I just love it. It reminds me of the Joe Kelly Superboy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you say that.
He's had that personality. Like, he's, he was young, adolescent. He has that kind of feeling of not fitting in.
Mm-hmm.
But his reactions is always defensive.
Yeah. He's got that insecurity, too.
But yeah. Oh, right. Constantly.
Yeah.
And I like that you learn a little more things about the culture each issue.
Right.
They throw little things in, that they would do, like the celebration part in the arc where they had that, where everybody just, you go home to your families, it's part of the celebration. It's like Christmas for us here.
Right.
It's reflection. You reflect on your family, and it's important. Like, they let you know in the book just how important that is,
mm-hmm,
to them. And then using that, you got to see more of the Batman, the Chinese Batman.
Right.
And how his relationship is with his sister, and that progressed her story. And then you kind of learn what he went through training to win that mantle. I like that. And then you kind of get more of what the Superman character is going through, and why his powers don't work the same all the time. I kind of like that thing with how he has to focus and control his chi and channel it.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah. Cause it puts a different spin on it.
Yeah. Than
the same old, same old.
Yeah. This is not just a Superman knockoff.
Right.
He's different than that. Like, we even enjoyed it when they were like, he saved people just because he just got tired of hearing. Like, when he it tells you the difference between Superman, Clark, you know, like our Superman, and the difference of someone else getting those powers. Like, our Superman hears, you know, cars about to hit someone, someone calling for help, screams, people getting killed, murdered, attacked, all that kind of stuff. His thing is to help. Naturally, that's his reflex, is to go out and help.
Right.
But for the average person or someone, it's just not, that's not their makeup right. all the time. Is he just wanted it to stop, so he would do it just so he would stop hearing the screams.
Yeah.
Like, that was why he did it. He didn't even appreciate the fact that he saved these lives.
Right.
It, you know, so it just...
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it was just really cool to do that. You, this guy's a fully fleshed out character.
Yeah.
Instead of just being a Flash Thompson like bully, you know, like I'd started off with.
Yeah. And I think it's bad too, because I don't think it's gonna last a whole lot longer.
No, the first issue of this, I knew this is not a book that's going to do 20 to 30 issues. It's just not.
Right.
It's just not. But it let it get a solid 12 at least.
Yeah. And then wait a little bit and bring it back for another mini when the time's right.
Yeah, just don't, you know, as long as you don't kill him off.
Right.
You can, you know, leave him somewhere and have him out there. He just, like the Great Ten, they didn't get rid of the Great Ten. They still exist.
Right.
You're just not going to see them in everything until needed, you know, when they're needed, and if they get a story for them. I wouldn't mind if he did a story, if Gene Yang did a Great Ten miniseries. A short, just do a 4-issue one or something like that.
Right. Just a little more dirt on it.
Yeah, yeah. I think he could do it. The way he's been using them in this book, it makes you feel like maybe he would like to.
Right.
Maybe do something with them. You know, and have make it that is an important one. Like a 4-issue one, and the Justice League had to be part of it. Like there's something.
Right.
The Chinese Justice League are needed as well.
Right.
So you can kind of do something with those characters. Get in, get out. I know in other places they say minis are the death knell of of a comic, but come on, try it anyway.
Right.
I think you can try it anyway and see if people respond to it.
Do you read Flash?
I am too behind on Flash.
Right.
I finished the Rogues arc, and then I kind of was supposed to go back, and I just didn't yet.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I was just curious.
Yeah.
You were liking the.
I like it, but it's. I have to still say though, Barry's still kind of boring.
Yeah.
Wow, just Barry's just not. It's just not that interesting as much. It's different.
At being the fastest man alive, this book is like dragging for me.
Yeah, there's not much to do with it. Like Barry, it's like, are you gonna be with Iris?
Yeah.
Are you not gonna be with Iris?
Yeah. Well, I think this from this past week. Well, like I won't spoil anything or whatever, but I think. It was pretty Iris-centric issue, and it was pretty good. It was like one of those, you know, those Green Lanterns issues where it was kind of the stamp mark of it. But it's kind of one of those things where it's almost like the Flash TV show. It's like there's too many things that are happening all at the same time that nobody notices. Right.
Well, the things I like about the Flash TV show is the things that I probably liked when it was Wally, because Flash got friends.
Right.
You know, like Wally had friends. You know, like he had friendships. He had, you know, and I wish they would. Get away from on a TV show. I wish they would get away from this overarching menace every season.
Yeah.
Because it takes away what you feel like you have to do you have to kind of, when he's getting his groove and doing something cool, there has to be this thing of, oh, but somebody's going to, your girl's going to die, so you got to keep concentrating on the same shit. Mm-hmm. When all you got to do, which you could push your story, is you're an effing superhero, man.
Right.
Like, you could maybe do smaller arcs. Like, I don't know why there seems to be a need. I have the same problem with the Netflix shows as well, the Marvel shows.
Right.
Why do you have to feel like you need this kingpin-like evil big bad that you have to fight, that everything leads up to that? Why does it have to do that? Like, you can't... There's so many villains in the books. Yeah. Like, when he had to fight Abracadabra, if they could have just taken out all that Irish shit, her, you know, dying, like, getting killed, it just had it that this asshole Abracadabra is stealing shit, and we gotta stop him. Mm-hmm. Done. That's a great episode right there.
Yep.
Like, that is a cool freaking episode.
Yeah.
That could work. Like, that was the fun in it. Like, that was the stuff that I really enjoyed. And then you can add to the thing of Cisco hooking up with Gypsy.
Right.
And you won't have to do the stupid, man, oh, Gypsy, I can't be with you. Even though I like you, I can't be with you because I have to make up shit to make it so that we can't be together. Even though I can create a doorway and come hang out with you whenever the fuck I want. We could go date, fuck, whatever we want to do, and then I go back home and do my job, do my 9-to-5. And hey, Cisco, let's do an episode where I'm like, yo, Cisco, wanna hang out with me at work? Mm-hmm. Why don't we go catch some bad guys together? Right? They could do so much shit with that. Instead, they do the same old, oh, I can't be with you. Why? Because I can't. Why? You just don't understand. I'm going to turn away and look away. I'm going to kiss you, though, to let you know I'm still interested, but then I'm going to leave.
It's not me, it's you.
It's not me, it's you. Kind of bullshit. I'm like, you don't have to. You could do that one season or part of the season. You don't. Every situation doesn't have to be that. You did the same shit with the Hawks in Legend of Tomorrow.
Right.
You did the same shit with Felicity and you did the same shit with Laurel and Ollie. It's the same shit. Stop doing the same things with every character, every relationship. You don't need to do it the same. Switch it up a little bit, like. It should be more fun. Like, Flash should be more fun. Yeah. Flash should be, like, just like I said, like, Flash should be, Cisco's like, I'm going to another universe to hang out with my lady. Mm-hmm. And we could do shit. And you could have Flash stopping a bad guy, and the second story could be Cisco and her on their, you know.
On their date,
stopping a bad guy. Yep. Right? And then they're kind of getting to know each other while they're doing that, right?
Yeah.
That's fun shit.
Yeah.
What is the problem? Like, that's some fun shit. Give me an episode of Wally and his girl. Just the two of them. Stopping a bad guy.
Yep.
Boom. And then they get in an argument or something. You can throw some shit in there. It's girlfriend, boyfriend shit. We get in arguments with our ladies all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Have some shit happen. You know, like, something like that. But, you know, they thought it was going to be all good. Everything is great. But then it's like, oh, man, we stay living together. We're not as great as we thought it was going to be. You know, Wally.
You there?
Dan, B4 stopped us.
I know. All of a sudden, it just quit. And I was like, what the hell?
Speed Force just couldn't handle it. But yeah, Barry needs to stay. Like, Barry's boring.
Yeah,
there's no other way to put it. Like, there's not a lot of Barry's biggest. The biggest thing about Barry is just he was He was the Flash first. You right. know, like, when I mean Flash, I mean not... He wasn't the first one to have the mantle, but he was the first official, you know, after Jay. He was, like, the first official Flash.
Right.
You know, they got like, hit with the Speed Force Flash.
I mean, it was almost like he was more important that he died
yeah.
than to actually be around.
Yeah. And again, you have Johns who, because you came up in the time you came up, mm-hmm. that's the one that you felt was the most important one. But it's interesting that the cartoon version of Flash was written more like Wally than Barry. Mm-hmm. And the show version, when he's not brooding, it's the Wally version. Like, Wally having a girl he had loved, all that. That's the Wally version.
Right.
More than it is the Barry. But we never got a college-age Barry.
No.
He was already grown. You know, when we got Barry, he was already grown. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, he was just the way he was. But you could tell, like, the aspects of him. Like, this is... Even then, he's like, he got a black family. You know, he went to barbecues. Probably hanging out. He should have more black friends because he's more of a black family, man. We welcome everybody.
Right.
So you come to a black barbecue, you eating, you yep. hanging out, you eating, you yep. playing pinochle, you playing spades,
like dominoes.
Dominoes. This is a lot of shit you can do, right? Yep. There's so much more interesting stuff you could do with having that, mm-hmm. having that sense of family and all that kind of stuff. Like, in relationship with Joe, you can't beat it. Like, that's more all that stuff, interesting stuff. Barry didn't have that.
Nope.
Barry was a grown-ass man already. He was kind of like, you know, responsible dad.
Right.
You know, so you just responsible dad can run fast.
Yep.
So most of his shit was, you know, being late, for his girl, you know, and then they had that long ass story with the trial where he killed a bad guy by accident, but it was a long freaking trial, and that trial of the Flash was a long one.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah.
He ran real fast and sacrificed himself. And died. Like, that was the big deal. That was kind of his... that was his moment.
Yeah.
The best thing he did was die. Right. The most important thing he did was die.
Right.
So... Yeah. You know, but... So it's like, I don't know what you do with Barry, man. I don't...
Yeah. It seemed like... The him and Wally issues... I don't know. Maybe these next two issues with him and Bruce, I guess, doing the investigating part. But like you said, it'll be the table setting for what's to come later on and not, you know, for the next couple of arcs, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what you would do.
I don't, and let's take it away from him and don't make him the fastest man alive.
Yeah.
I mean, once you make him so powerful, it's just like, what is the thing with him? What do you do with him when he's that powerful?
Even like this, like, holy shit moment that happened in this last issue, you saw it coming, though. So, which I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I mean, as long as we've been reading comics, and you know, you got a couple of years on me, but I'm just saying, like, as long as you've been reading comics, it's not really a holy shit moment anymore.
Yeah, it's not. So,
but I don't know.
How much you can do? I mean, you can either take his power, so I mean, either, you know, weaken his. Take the Speed Force away.
Mm-hmm.
And then have it where, you know, it hurts more. You gotta a little bit more hard work to
do the Captain America thing.
Yeah.
Instead of make him older, just take his powers away and make him a regular guy.
Now, nobody wants to read him being a regular guy, though.
Well, I know that, but I mean...
nobody wants that, but... But still, but if you take the Speed Force away and just have it that he's very fast, which was Wally's deal for a while before he got the Speed Force. There was no Speed Force. He didn't know about that shit till much later.
Right.
But yeah, but just have it where he's just super fast. He got to eat a lot of food, right?
Right.
He gets tired, like. You know, if you have a Flash who gets tired, because it's fuel, he needs the fuel, and if you don't have it, he gets a little... That makes him have to think about... You have to come up with more smarter ways to take down baddies.
Right.
Right, because if he's so fast, it's like there should be not a battle that he doesn't... He should not lose any fights. All his fights should end in literally seconds. Mm-hmm. Because he always has to stop. Like, there's times where it's like, why didn't you just stop? It's like you waited for the guy to punch you because you just sat there.
Right.
But if you just went full speed and just knocked folks out, like, I don't even see him. Like, the way they did it, I think that's the perfect way. If you're going to do Speed Force, if you really think about it, the way they did it in Kingdom Come was where you don't even see Flash. All you see is shit happening all over the city.
Right, you see the reaction.
Yeah, you see the reactions. Like, I almost got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Like, my house was on fire 2 seconds ago. Like, it just... There's just no way that you would stop... to do stuff. Like, you wouldn't stop to let the bad guys know.
Right.
Right? You'd be able to do... And your mind works at that speed as well. You're done. Like, there's no way you can't beat them.
Right.
There's no way you can beat the Flash if that's how his brain works.
Yep, agreed.
Crazy. But that makes for a boring story, too, because you don't see nothing. There's no interaction.
Yeah, right.
So if you take that away, take the Speed Force away, and you make it that he does have to stop at times because it's his fuel. He can't just stay at full speed all the time, because the more he's at full speed, the more fuel he burns.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It's like one of those Catch-22 type things.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's so true.
Is there anything else you want to hit on before we wrap it up, buddy?
No, I think we hit quite a bit. I think we went
on some tangents and
yeah.
I mean, you know,
that's what I'm known for. Can't help it. Well, can't help it.
I think I instigated a couple of those, though. But you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, that's why we podcast, so we can run our mouths.
Yep.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up then. You can find me at Rumbar316, and Daryl is at TheVoice123, and I think the show is at NL Rebirthically. I don't know. Aaron handles that.
Yeah, it's just stuff, right? You know about that.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you next week. And done.
All right.
I'll see how he spliced it together, and we'll go from there.
How long was this episode?
I don't know. Well, his wasn't very long. His was only like 20, 25 minutes or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ours was, what, an hour and a half, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Works for me.
Yep. thanks for hopping on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Gave me something to do.
Yeah, gave me something to do because I hate recording by myself.
Yeah, I'd never do it either.
Yeah, I was just like, what the hell am I supposed to talk about?
Exactly.
All right, brother.
All right, take it easy.
All right, I'll holler at you tomorrow.
All right, later. Bye.